Hi, and welcome to another Applied Learning Podcast. This time, I sit down with Marina Jaffe, and we talk about how she incorporates applied learning into her classes. All right, Marina, first off, maybe a little bit about yourself. What area do you teach? What class in particular do you really think about applied learning? And how does that roll in as part of the program you're in?
Yeah, hi, Dan. I've been teaching here at Camosun since 1994, so coming up to 25 years, and ever since I can remember and joined the department, applied learning has been a part of what we do. And so in the marketing department, we hear from employers about how much they love hiring our grads, because the grads have these students have had some actual real world experience, and the applied learning projects allow for that. My colleagues and I really like applied learning because we see our students being more engaged with the content. It's a more fun learning environment in the classroom, and students enjoy it as well because they see the relevance of what they're learning and how it's applied in the real world. So that's a little bit of background in terms of applied learning in the courses that I teach.
Great. And is there any, and we'll be probably exploring a few different examples, but is there one example just to get us started where you can think of where you've really made a conscious effort to say, okay, we're going to make this a really an applied experience?
Yeah. Well, in the School of Business, in the marketing department, we require our students to work in teams quite a lot. And often there are challenges, issues that come up in a team. And I teach a fourth year course, which it's our sales management course, but really it's a leadership course with a sales focus. And so I was thinking, how can I capitalize on the experience that these fourth year students have and provide an opportunity for them to share that experience in working with teams with, say, our first year students? And so the applied learning project that I'd like to use as an example is the one that I developed for that sales management course. It's an integrated course, so I worked with Catherine Mack. Kath was teaching our first year marketing course, and so she and I worked together to develop a project for both classes that would see my students, our fourth year students, being peer mentors for our first year business students. And so these two classes work together on a joint project. We actually invited high school students from the local area into our interurban campus, and our students worked in their teams to create activities for the high school students to give them some exposure about what it's like to study here at the college. And overall, it worked really well. The fourth year students in my class went through I had developed a series of workshops to help them develop their leadership skills, their teamwork skills, their coaching and mentoring skills. And so after they had been through that learning, then we were able to partner with our first year students and actually see some peer mentoring, peer coaching take place. And the growth that I saw in both sets of students was phenomenal. It wasn't without its challenges, but the fourth year students actually had a chance to be leaders and act as leaders, and they were so proud of the fact that they could share their learning with the first year students. And the first year students really benefited as well, because they were getting some inside tips and coaching around how to work effectively in a team, especially if there might be conflict or communication issues on that team.
Right. And it must be nice to hear that from a peer, you know.
Yes.
You know, and not just the instructor. Okay. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of thought and a lot of intention that goes behind that setup and that work that you... We're going to slowly unpack that, if you don't mind. I want to ask a series of questions, and they're around the principles. There's 8 applied learning principles. We're going to sort of go through all of them, if we can, and talk a little bit about each. So the first principle is intention. And it sounds here like, how do you decide that an experience or an application is the best way for students to learn a particular concept or theory or idea?
Yeah, so keeping with that sales management course example or applied learning example, we knew in our department that students were having challenges working in a team. And so I was looking for a way that we could help our students be more effective in a team experience. I've been speaking with Anita Ferris around coaching. Elaine Patterson here in our department is also a certified coach. At my son's school, they do a lot of coaching and also peer coaching as well as one-on-one coaching. And so I thought, how could we, this might be an opportunity for our more senior students to be able to engage with our first year students and share their learning around how to work effectively in a team. So the first thing I did, planning is so important whenever you're looking at an applied learning project. And so, and this one was a little bit risky as well because I wasn't sure how we might prepare our fourth year students to be peer mentors or coaches. And so I did a pilot. I planned a pilot of this, and I invited students from our DECA, which is a business club here in the school, and so some senior members of our DECA club volunteered to be peer mentors and peer coaches. And I developed a series of 4 workshops for those peer mentors. And it was definitely, a joint effort. I had people, Karen Stevens from the School of Business, delivered the working effectively in a team module. Anita Ferris delivered the coaching module for the students. Anna Stein delivered the communicating effectively in an intercultural environment module. And then Janet Stark and I focused on project management skills for the students. So we had those 4 modules, and then we paired the peer mentors after the training with a second year marketing group, and had those peer mentors work with the student groups in the second year course around working effectively in teams and working through issues that had come up with some of those teams in the class. And based on the learning from that pilot, Catherine Mack and I then decided that we would try this with our actual courses. And so my course was the fourth year sales management, Cass was the first year marketing. And we looked at having a joint project for the students to work on together. So they had some time to work on the joint project as well as teams within their course, right, only. And the first time we offered that was last fall of 2017, and overall the student feedback was really positive. So, but it's definitely, you know, if I were to give advice to anybody thinking about doing an applied learning project, that planning and preparation piece is really important, and also, you know, don't be afraid if, things might not always go the way you would expect them to go, and that's okay. It's a, you know, Kath and I were really open with our students when we started this last project last fall and said, you know, this is the first time through. We are really excited about it, and we're really open to your feedback and around how it's working for you.
Yeah, that's a really great model, and a lot of these themes we'll be touching on, albeit you've done a nice job here. I want to take us just one step back, right to the essence of this. With intention, it seemed like you identified one core issue, or maybe there was a couple, and it really seemed like how do we have students help other students learn how to work in teams?
That's right.
The project, sort of aside from that, did the intention, the starting point, was simply what's the, and tell me if I'm getting this right, was how can we get students to embrace the idea of teamwork? Was that your starting sort of intention, or maybe there's a little more to that?
And how can we support our students when they're asked to work in teams and things don't go well? How can we support them when that happens?
Right, and that's, of course, all part of any work, that there's going to be work that goes better than expected, but there might be some that goes off the rails, and that's all part of the makeup. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Let's move on, and this seems like really a strength that you show a lot of, and that's the sort of second stage. Is you talked a lot about planning, preparedness. How do you know when you're ready to try an applied learning activity?
Well, really, really being clear on what the objective is. I knew that our students were being asked to work in teams. They needed some support, and so how best can we support our students? And so knowing that this was an opportunity to help students really helped me affirm, you know, to myself why I was doing this, and also. You know, it was a bit of a leap of faith, but I knew that I had the support. I was working with Catherine Mack, who's a very seasoned instructor. She and I were working together, so there was trust there that this would run smoothly, that it would be well organized, and being prepared. I think being as well. You know, prepared for an applied learning project as possible helps me. Right. And the fact that I did a pilot, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I wasn't sure how this was going to roll out, whether or not our students would want this. But that pilot really helped me to see what kind of skills the fourth year students needed to develop in order to become effective peer mentors.
Right.
And then formalizing that as part of the curriculum.
Right.
To ensure that those peer mentors in training were getting developing the skills that they would need in order to be effective as peer mentors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was your thought process? And I want to sort of go to your thought process, because it seems like you really put a lot of sort of time and energy before you began. Can you just walk us through your thought process to consider, like, equipment, logistics, learning materials for the students? Like, this is in a pre-planning phase. How does that roll out? Like, what are you thinking about? And what are you and Kathy thinking about when you're thinking about how can we get this thing going?
Right. So, because in this applied learning project, there were two different classes working together. We knew we wanted a joint project that would work for both groups of students. And the idea came out that, you know, why don't we connect with the local high schools to invite them in so we could showcase what it's like to be a school of business student. And so we wanted to connect with community. We wanted it to be integrated, so we had two different courses working together, and so both Kath and I, after we had our initial planning discussion, went away and developed fairly detailed, thorough project overview guidelines for the students. And that included a timeline. So we had the schedule mapped out over the 14 weeks about what is going to happen when. There were a couple of different sessions, joint sessions, that I had organized for both classes. One was around networking skills. And how to communicate effectively with people from the community, and so that was something that I had planned. We also wanted to plan enough opportunities for the two different classes to get to know one another and develop a relationship. So that had to be scheduled in. And I found when I started to map out a schedule, it really was a visual at a glance of what's going to happen when over the course of the semester. That also helped determine what resources are required when. Do we need to bring in guest speakers? If so, we need to book them. If we need a larger space, because we had two classes getting together, I had to book that space well in advance. And so by mapping out what's happening when, what are the learning outcomes, what are the deliverables, that helps an instructor see what's needed.
And were you using like a physical calendar? Were you using a syllabus or sort of?
Yeah. My tendency is to, I have a schedule, a 14-week schedule as part of my syllabus.
Right.
And I also have a comprehensive project overview and guideline document that I hand to the students. And so it's in both. But I really do find, and of course D2L I also use for, indicating what checklists and, and what's due when.
Right.
And students like that because when students are asked to be involved in a more complex project, their stress levels go up.
Right.
And so one way to help them feel that things are in control, that they have control,
right,
is to have very clear guidelines and very clear timelines. What's due when?
Right.
And then they can work with that.
Right. It sounds like you break it into bite-sized pieces so that the students aren't, they may see the big picture, but there's a bite size. Okay, in this period we need to get, you know, X, Y, and Z done, and
that's
then we move on to the next and the next.
And just one point before we move on, because we were working with an external group, the high schools, their timelines are very different as well. And so I had to be in touch with those high schools 6 months before this project was scheduled to run, just so that they would have enough time to organize things on their end. And so again, if there's an external client or an external organization involved in an applied learning project, making sure that there's plenty of lead time that's planned for.
All right. Wow, that's like a masterclass in planning right there. We're going to talk a little bit, and you've already talked about it in the intro, but the third idea around applied learning is authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it about your student experience and activities that ties it to current and foundational practices in the field? The why of this production?
Yes. Well, for my class, it's a leadership class. And it's pretty difficult to learn how to be an effective leader simply by reading in the textbook and, you know, looking at the theory behind leadership. Really, a person has to try out those skills, learn, get feedback, reflect, and then, you know, tweak their behaviors a little bit and try it again. And so this applied learning project really allowed these fourth-year students to be leaders. They planned as a group how they were going to be and work together. Anita Ferris led a coaching session where each team in my class developed a design, what Anita calls a designed alliance. So they work through what the expectations are of one another, how they want this team to function, what's going to happen if things aren't going as planned. And so my students in their Mark 4-3 in their sales management teams, developed that designed alliance, and then they led the first year students through that process. So they've done it themselves, they're teaching it to the first year students, and then they're actually living that as they work on this this integrated project together. So again, it's that's the beauty of applied learning in my mind. It's where students they learn something and then they try it out and they see that, oh gosh, you know, I did this really well. Maybe I can improve a little bit here. And so it's that ongoing reflection practice.
That's and that rolls in very nicely because it's hard and it's important, as your other listeners of other podcasts note, that all of these practices and principles all tie together. They're, while we're pulling them apart into eight principles, they really roll together as a stream. And reflection is the next principle, and it sounds like that's built in to the practices of both you and Kath, design and implementing, and then through your students. So let's unpack that if we can for just a minute. So what reflective questions do you have students consider once they've completed part or either part of the project or a cycle of the project as they go through it?
Right, and this is actually where the coaching model is so effective, because Anita Ferris worked through with the students what are some good reflective questions to ask if you're wanting to improve your own coaching practice. For each coaching session or peer coaching, peer mentoring session that my students had with the first year students, they would first set a plan. And so they'd have some goals in place. They'd identify, you know, what resources do we need for this peer mentoring, peer coaching session. And then after each peer mentoring, peer coaching session, students would need to reflect on what worked well, what would they want to see more of if, you know, they were to do this again. And so they had to do this reflection after every meeting with the with their first year counterparts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it happened throughout the semester, and then there was a larger reflection piece at the end of the course. And so it was an opportunity for teams to reflect as well as for individuals to reflect.
Okay. So I think you've covered it from the student's perspective. What about for you? When and how did you reflect on the AL activity?
Again, this is why I really like working with an integrated, on an integrated applied learning project, because I'm working with a colleague and a colleague whom I really respect. And so throughout the semester, Kath and I would meet and say, okay, you know, what are you hearing from your students? What are your thoughts on how this is working? Is there anything we need to tweak as we move forward? Is there something that's missing that this do we think the students might need? And so we had these ongoing discussions throughout the term. And then we also had our students do a reflection at the end. And so then after the semester finished, Kath and I met and we had, you know, a list of, we each came with a list of things that that seemed to work well, what we might change moving forward next time. And we also identified some resources that from the department that might be helpful moving forward with this project.
Right.
So, yeah, and that was really critical, you know, to make sure during the semester that our students are getting what they need and
right.
that it's working, especially the first time through when it was
right.
new for us.
Right.
But also at the end to really take the time and say, you know, yay, you know,
right.
this worked well. And so, you know, that sense of accomplishment after,
because
right. it was a lot of work. That's one
right.
thing about applied learning projects is they're often much more time consuming than other kinds of projects or
right.
learning activities.
And that's certainly true the first couple times through.
It is, yes.
Okay. What about students' reflection? How did that impact when you're going through at the end of the semester? How did students' reflections impact your assessment? So when Kath and you are sitting down, you've probably seen or read some of the students' reflections. How does that impact the project going forward?
Well, students, the feedback that we heard from students, very much reaffirmed that this is on the right track.
Right.
They saw the value in the learning. Often our students sort of roll their eyes and say, not another team project.
Right.
And so we really, I heard from my students that developing a designed alliance really made sense to them. And
right.
It was something that they took seriously and saw the value of. It wasn't just a box they could tick off and say, okay, we got that, team charter out of the way. It was of value to the students. And that really reaffirmed why we're doing this.
Great. Okay, the next set of principles are, and you've covered, frankly, a lot of this terrain. It looks sort of outward. If the first four principles are more internal to the instructor, the people building the applied learning, and although the relationship from the builder to the student is fairly direct, the next set of questions are a little bit more around how it runs in practice, how the applied learning idea or concept or project rolls out. So how do you prepare yourself to guide an experiential learning activity? Like, how do you set yourself up the first time when the students, you don't want the students to roll their eyes when they say, hey, here's a team project for you, everyone.
Right. Yeah, I think it's really important to be positive and to have a clear idea in my mind why I'm doing this and what the benefit of doing it is, and sharing that with the students. And also being, being transparent. I told my students, in this case, you're the guinea pigs. We're going to try this. I think it's going to be great. But this is something that we're in together. We're learning together.
Right.
And I need you, the students, to tell me if there's something that, if there's something that that they need, if there's something that I can do for them. And so these students in fourth year, they've got... most of them are going to be graduating after this, the semester. Some of them are post-degree diploma students, so they already have a degree. So there's that level of maturity and life experience that they bring to the classroom. And I think, appealing to that experience and knowledge and ability in our learners helped give them a sense of pride in what they can do and what they're able to do.
Right, right. And I think that's very true. It sounds like you've explained sort of the process, the walking your students through the applied learning process. Does your preparation differ if you're working with a community partner?
Yes, it adds a different level of complexity to the planning process. As I mentioned earlier, timelines often need to be considered, and so it's not when you're dealing with an external partner, you need to plan much further in advance, and also be open to things perhaps not going the way you had thought they would go. So, for example, case in point, originally we were going to have Camosun students go out to the high schools because we'd done that in previous years and we didn't think
right.
anything of that. But then about a week before our students were scheduled to go out to the high schools, we found out that they can't do that because they need criminal record checks. And uh-oh, what's going to happen? So there was some mad scrambling to switch it around so the high schools could come to Camosun.
Right.
Yes, that was a stressful situation, but it worked out. And
right.
I think it worked out for the better. It was, it made a lot of sense to showcase our campus. And so I think, again, for an instructor going into an applied learning project that does involve an external partner, be open to things that can come up that you hadn't necessarily planned for, and put your creative thinking cap on and look for different possible solutions to those issues.
Right. It sounds like there's kind of, we forget sometimes at Camosun that not everyone works in the the college time frame, whether that's a 4-month time frame or simply aligning high school classes and the way their timetable works with a steady Tuesday and Thursday at 2 o'clock classes that Camosun works with. So there's always those levels of forethought that need to go in to adjust Camosun's timeline to the rest of the world, which is often beating to a different drum. All right. Excellent. Let's move on now. And again, some of these are themes we've touched on before. So question, principle 6 is around monitoring, reflection, and continuous improvement. How do you assess your students' experience when things don't go as planned? Inevitably, things will go sideways at some point. And how do you sort of assess the situation, whether you need to modify it or maybe you need to let it roll? How do you assess that in sort of a monitoring reflection or monitoring and process as you're going through an applied learning experience?
Right. I think it depends on the case. So being open and flexible to what has happened if things do not go as planned. So for example, in this peer mentoring, peer coaching, applied learning project, we ended up having to have our students work in much larger groups to host the high school students here on campus, because not all the schools could come here. And so that changed things a little bit. But, taking a look at what are my learning outcomes, because ultimately that's what I need to ensure we meet. And so just being flexible and being fair, as long as I see my students trying their best to meet what the deliverables are under the circumstances, then that's all I can ask for. Again, thinking creatively, keeping your learning outcomes in mind, asking the students, especially if you're working with upper level students, what do you think is a fair way to assess in this case? And so taking their feedback into account might be appropriate depending on the situation.
Great. So that moves us on, and it's interesting. There's been lots of talk about a sort of an open pedagogy where you're really laying out to your students through the whole process how you're going to walk them through this, and whether that's the steps you're going to take, the planning, the process, the need for flexibility, the showcasing of curiosity and flexibility as you're rolling through this. Hey, we need to do it differently because we couldn't go to the high schools. Now we have to go somewhere else. And in some ways, you're showing real life activity. The best laid plan needs to also be flexible because reality will step in and your planning will need to adjust.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's move to the next step then, which is assessment and evaluation. How do you structure your formative and summative assessment of your students?
Right. I often ask the students to reflect and do a self-assessment, and so I'll look at that as part of a mark. I find that rubrics are helpful as well, so that students have a clear idea in their mind how they're going to be evaluated and what I'm looking for when I do assess. And so having clear expectations that the students understand how they're going to be graded on the different aspects of the project is most important.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great. Now, this is the broad question of applied learning, and we're asking this of people who use applied learning, obviously, and appreciate it, but I'll put it out there nonetheless. What evidence do you have that applied learning activities deepen students' understanding of concepts, of theories, and of ideas.
Yeah, it's often student feedback. They'll let me know whether the learning experience has been good or not. I see it reflected in their grades as well. And I do see grades going up when applied learning projects are being used because the students are engaged. They feel that they're doing something meaningful. And in this case, it was an opportunity for our senior students to give back to the school and help be mentors of our first year students. So there was that real sense of pride. And also I think recognition and celebration should be an important part of it as well. By celebrating at the end, or in this case we celebrated at the end of the project, the hard work that students put into this project often reaffirms in the students' mind that, hey, yes, I really did make a difference, and this is being acknowledged and recognized, and so that helps build their confidence in their skills and abilities when they go out into the world of work.
That's a great point, and that leads us to the very last point, which you've already touched on a little bit, but how do you celebrate student transformation?
Acknowledging the specific things that students have accomplished over through their work on the project, I'll often invite the external client or the representative from an external organization as part of that celebration. In this case, we brought both classes together. So again, the fourth year and first year students had an opportunity to celebrate and be acknowledged together. We'll sometimes invite the dean or the chair in to also acknowledge the student's contribution. In some of the applied learning projects, a client will actually use the work that the students have produced, and so when students see that, they really do know that what they have done is significant and that it is of value. So
that's great, having an outside client, especially as a fourth year student, mm-hmm. to have someone out there in the world using your work, your ideas, your effort, I think probably gives you a lot of confidence that you're ready.
Absolutely, and we encourage our students to develop a portfolio of the work and their accomplishments while they're here at the college. And so, often there's some aspect of an applied learning project that they can then incorporate into their portfolio. Right. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Are there any last ideas or reflections you have since the beginning of the interview that you want to add?
Well, if there's an instructor who's considering incorporating an applied learning project into his or her course, I would just say, do it. Overall, I think students really appreciate the opportunity to learn by doing. And no matter whether it's a complex project or something really, really basic, it doesn't matter. It's an opportunity for students to learn by doing, connect with others in the class, and to develop the skills that they need in order to be successful in life and in their career.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Marina. This is a great interview, and I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.